The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. And now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we're tackling benign prostatic hypertrophy, or increase in the size of the prostate, with guest expert Dr. Raul Ortega of the USF College of Medicine here in Tampa, Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events, with a combined 7,500 hours of education on those 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And I would like to, at this time, thank a family from Lakeland, Florida, who sent in a donation. We are always looking for financial assistance and support to continue our educational programs. And today we'd like to thank the Robinsons from Lakeland, Florida. Thank you very much for sending in your contribution to our not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation. Thank you very much. And again, this Sunday, I'm also sharing with those with everyone out there the Tampa Bay Wellness Magazine. They have a cover story interview with me about the Focus on Females Education Foundation. The Tampa Bay Wellness Magazine can be obtained and at the at all CVS drugstores, all Shapes gyms, as well as many Publix and other outlets here in the Tampa Bay area. And the Tampa Bay Wellness Magazine focuses on health, fitness, medicine, nutrition, and lifestyle. And we encourage each of you to pick up a copy and read about our foundation as well as other neat stories in this month's edition. And so for today, it's benign prostatic hypertrophy. And first, I'd like to welcome my guest expert, Dr. Raul Ortega. Raul, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
And Dr. Ortega is an associate professor within the urology department at the University of South Florida College of Medicine. Dr. Ordorica received his medical degree at the University of California, Davis, where he also completed his residency in urology. He went on to complete a fellowship in neurourology and reconstruction at the University of Toronto. Dr. Ordorica was an assistant professor at Brown University from 1993 through 1996 before joining the faculty at University of South Florida. He's presently at Tampa General Hospital, where he focuses on benign prostatic hypertrophy, voiding dysfunction, female urology, as well as neuromodulation and urinary tract reconstruction. And if we will try to get to as many of these topics as possible, but certainly we are led by our callers. So each of you out there with a question about the prostate, about prostatic growth, about urinating and so on, please, we encourage you to call in. And that call-in number is 289-1860 here in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. Everywhere else, it is toll-free, 877-969-8600, 877-969-8600. And now is a good time to call in with your questions for Dr. Ordorica. All right, well, we're talking about the prostate. Raul, let's start with the basics. What is a prostate? What is its purpose? And maybe you can run through the anatomy of the prostate.
Okay. Well, the prostate is a gland that's found only in men. It lies between the bladder and the urethra. And if I could, the bladder holds urine. The urethra is the outlet for that urine. And as it first leaves the bladder, it enters the prostate. The size of the prostate, well, early in life, it's about the size of a walnut. And for many men, as they get older, it will enlarge or undergo this benign prostatic growth or hyperplasia. It's a sex organ. And as such, it helps bathe the semen and it produces part of the semen for ejaculation.
Okay. And so you mentioned that the urine passes through the prostate on its way into the urethra and on the way out.
Correct.
Correct. And of course, the prostate grows over a man's lifespan.
And that's part of the problem, or can be the problem. If the prostate enlarges or increases in tone, then what can happen is it can block the urinary flow. And that's how men notice that they might have this BPH, or benign prostatic hyperplasia, and a problem with their bladder.
And is it, does every man have the same issue? Let me rephrase it. Does every prostate grow in time over a man's life?
If we looked at, shall we say, anatomic series, if we looked at patients at the end of their life at their prostate, we would find evidence of this benign prostatic hyperplasia in everyone. But not everyone has symptoms from it.
Okay. So, of course, in my world of eyes, everyone develops a cataract in some way, shape, or form because it's an increase in the cellular, you can think of it as an increase in lens proteins and lens cells with time. So it sounds like a similar thing is happening. The prostate, the cells of the prostate continue to increase in number over a lifespan.
Yes.
Okay. And so the average man, I guess, is there a bell-shaped curve as to when symptoms typically occur to a man from an enlarged prostate?
We typically see it for men who are over the age of 50. They might have some mild symptoms. It may not be enough to drive them to seek medical help. As they get older in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, we have another process going on which is competing with it because at the same time, our bladders are aging. So in essence, as the prostate grows and starts obstructing our flow, our bladder may be changing too, ultimately leading to symptoms that will bring them to the doctor.
Okay. And you say that are these competing events or competing changes in anatomy?
Perhaps more contributing.
Okay. All right. So benign prostatic hypertrophy is by definition a benign process.
It's not cancer, but it can lead to untoward events in terms of problems that can be serious and deserve attention.
Okay. And how does a man know if he has a problem?
Well, because we're looking at an obstruction in flow, patients initially will have issues with decreased in their stream. Alternately, they can have issues regarding getting the flow out. They can have some hesitancy of their urinary stream. As this goes on, they may find their bladder responding. And so some of the more troubling things or how is how the bladder responds to this obstruction. The bladder starts going more frequently, more urgently. Patients find they're getting up at night. And it's these type of symptoms that ultimately result in patients seeking medical attention.
I see. So it's a secondary effect which is most impinging upon the man. Secondary effect for the bladder, the frequency, the difficulty of the bladder functioning normally, which in turn is from the growth of the prostate.
Exactly.
Because a man, generally speaking, you don't tend to get a lot of complaints about the stream. That's not what a person comes to you for because of a weakened stream.
Usually not.
Okay.
The straw that typically breaks the camel's back is when they start going urgently, that they can't control it. They become aisle sitters. They know where every bathroom is. When they get the urge to go, you got to go. If you watch any television, you can see the ads. Mm-hmm. Also, getting up at night. You might be able to get up once or twice at night and still get a good night's sleep. When you start getting up three or more, it starts breaking down your daytime.
Okay. And that frequently is from BPH. It's a common complaint of nocturia, commonly from BPH.
BPH. There can be other causes for this nocturia or getting up at night, but it all deserves investigation.
Okay. Okay, on the line is Mark. Mark from Tampa. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Martin.
Martin, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you have a question about benign prostatic hypertrophy for Dr. Ordorica?
Yes, I do. And it sounds as if you're describing me as one of your patients. I have an incomplete emptying of the bladder.
Okay.
And what that tells is my prostate is slightly enlarged. The walls of the bladder are firm or not flexible. And as you described a moment ago, I get up roughly about, I'm going from one extreme to another, around 3 to 6 times in an evening. And the voiding can be anywhere between 1.5 to 3.5 hours, which is, I don't understand that.
Is that during the day or?
No, I'm referring to the evening.
Okay.
And over an 8-hour period, I'm sorry.
And so, Martin, have you seen a physician for this yet?
Yes. And the only thing that I'm taking for it is Flomax, is 0.4 milligrams of Flomax. And in addition, I drink, I would say, about 9 8-ounce cups of water per day.
Okay. Well, Martin, you point out some very illustrative things in terms of this BPH. Number one, the going frequently, the going urgently, the getting up at night. And also you said that you don't empty your bladder completely. Which I suspected you had seen somebody for this because it's amazing how many patients out there really don't have a sense how well you're emptying your bladder. And it's only by measuring it that we can learn that. The other thing is you're taking a medication known as Flomax, which is supposed to relax the prostate and allow the urine to flow more efficiently. It's also supposed to relax the bladder so to relieve some of this urgency and frequency and getting up at night. Have you found it helpful at all?
I've been taking Flomax for several years, it seems, and the only thing that it helps is it helps with the flow, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. You mean he increases your flow?
No, it helps with the urinating of it. Actually, if I did not take the Flomax, mm-hmm. I'd find it difficult to urinate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one thing that's helpful for a medication like Flomax is that you get the answer fairly quickly if this is going to work for you or not. It's not typically a medication that you need to be on for years to find out if it's successful. We might find out in weeks to months. If you're still having issues, there is the option for being on an additional medication, such as Avodart or Proscard, that's supposed to shrink the prostate. As it implies, it only works if your prostate is, in fact, markedly enlarged.
I tried Avodart. Now, let me explain one. I have not tried two medications, meaning, let's say, Avodart and a Flomax. Now, I was going to ask you about that. But I've tried Avodart by itself. I tried other medications by itself. And it hasn't helped in any fashion other than what I explained to you by taking Flomax.
Okay.
Raul, what do you think about the combination?
Well, there have been studies looking at combination therapy. And while each works alone, they work better because they work by different mechanisms. So there is rationale to be on both medicines. the Avodart or the Proscar, they both work through the same thing in terms of shrinking the prostate. They block the conversion of testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, which is what the prostate is sensitive to in its growth. They shrink the prostate, and that can take months for that to occur. So there may be some rationale to be on both medications. It's not one or the other. My sense in listening to your story is that it warrants a second look to make sure that we're on the right track as far as treating this BPH, because there can be some other conditions to the bladder, this urgency, this frequency, this getting up often at night, which can work independent of the prostate.
Such as, what do you mean by a second look at? What would you look at?
Two things. We would go ahead and consider doing what's called a pressure test of the bladder or urodynamics, and that measures the degree of obstruction which you might have caused by the prostate. It's a test in which a small catheter is placed inside the bladder. We fill your bladder to see how much you can hold, and while you're voiding literally around this small catheter, we can measure the pressure in your bladder versus the flow that's coming out. If you can think about it, if there's a high pressure and a low flow, this is equivalent to being obstructed, and it means you may need more done for your prostate. And there are a number of options to relieve the obstruction that you have, which can be more beneficial in comparison to the medications.
So you basically, in that test, you try to recreate the voiding event.
Exactly.
And see where the problem is.
Exactly. Secondly, we can look inside the bladder.
Hang on if you can. Martin?
Yes.
Have you had that test done before? Does that sound familiar at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well.
Okay. And then secondly, we would consider looking inside your bladder with a scope, cystoscopy, which is done as an outpatient with minimal discomfort in the office.
I think that was done quite some time ago. I don't recall exactly, but I think something like that was done by looking inside to see what's doing there. And, you know the results of, you know what I'm doing now. So whatever that procedure showed the urologist, I don't know, we could take it from there.
Yeah, if I could.
Sure.
Provided that your kidneys are working well, that you're emptying your bladder, this is something that you can tolerate and go on for years like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, provided those options, those issues are relatively normal, it's really driven by you.
Right.
And if I may, in terms of the impact it has on you as far as the urgency and the frequency and getting up at night,
right,
how much is it impacting your day-to-day? And at one point, you have to ask yourself, am I in control of the bladder, or is it controlling me?
Mm. Right, I understand. Let me ask you about this pressure test.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in a hospital? Is it an outpatient procedure or what?
It's most often done as an outpatient.
Okay.
Many urologists' offices have the capability of doing this.
I see.
And it's a routine part of our armamentarium in terms of sorting out if there's obstruction.
Okay, so this could be done in your office?
Yes.
Okay, all right. How long does something like this take?
Oh, less than an hour.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you could suggest?
Well,
or advise.
Normally speaking, you're seeing urologists at the same token. They'd be ruling out the presence of cancer,
right,
which is part of any man's armamentarium, depending on race and family history.
Mm-hmm.
After the age of 45 or 50, we'd be making sure by routine exam and PSA to make sure that that's not an option. Secondly, you mentioned that you're not emptying your bladder completely. We
correct
would monitor that, how successful that is. And then finally, looking for things like a urinary tract infection,
right,
or blood in the urine even.
Right. Okay. All right.
Do you have any knowledge of any stones or any abnormality with your kidney? Or?
Well, I do have some stones. In fact, I have a staghorn, which is about 2.5 centimeters, if I remember correctly. And seems to be one of the reasons why I'm drinking so much water, to keep that from causing any problems.
Does that play a role in this at all, Raul?
Pardon me?
Well, the question was, is there a unifying theory here between your stone and the BPH? And it's conceivable that if the BPH is advanced, we might see some delayed drainage of the kidney. More often than not, to be honest, we see these as independent issues, and the stone certainly deserves attention also.
Right. Okay.
One, I have another question for our expert. Raul, is there a preference in, if let's say Morton decides at some point to try the combination, the Flomax with a an Avodart or Proscar, is there one that's the Avodart or Proscar has been demonstrated better in his case than the other, or is it a coin toss?
It really much is a coin toss. We're not seeing a tremendous advantage of one versus the other. The Avodart works on two receptors. The Proscar works on one. However, in clinical studies, one has not shown a marked advantage over the other one. And the way things are these days, it comes down to cost and formularies and that. But there would be room to be on either the Proscar and Avodart along with the Flomax that you're on,
okay,
provided your prostate is reasonably large. And your urologist would know if that's the case.
Okay.
And you did mention that Martin should not, if he were to go that route, he should not expect any change for months. It would take months for these other medications to take effect.
Right. When I tried Avodart, excuse me, I think it was for about a six-month period itself.
And that's exactly correct. We see benefit by 6 months, may even by 3 months we would see benefit.
Right. But that, obviously, that didn't, as far as I was concerned, it didn't help too much by itself.
Yeah.
Maybe a combination, we could see a different outcome. But anyway, I appreciate the information, and I thank you.
And by the way, Raul, would you, for Martin as well as all of the listeners, would you give the phone number of where they can reach your office? Okay, well, but later at some point during the show, we'll have that number available for our listeners.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Martin. Appreciate your call and sharing some of your Sunday with us at the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Very good. Thanks very much, Dr. Maskman.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're tackling prostate hypertrophy today. Be right back.
I don't know about you, but buying a Father's Day gift for the men in my life is a real challenge. They've got enough ties to circle the earth, enough cologne to swim in, and let's face it, most of the time, they just don't need anything. But this year, I found a gift that I know they'll love, an autographed copy of Michael Medved's new book, The Five Big Lies About American Business. It's a great book that speaks in volumes about the advantages of the free market system that made America great. And like I said, it's personally autographed by Michael Medved himself, so I know it will be appreciated and a cherished possession. Did I forget to tell you, it's just $15. That's right, a personally autographed copy of The Five Big Lies About American Business delivered to my door, all for just $15. Hey, Father's Day is June 20th, so don't wait. Order a few of these great gifts for the men in your life today. Order by June 11th, and your delivery is guaranteed anywhere in the contiguous United States in time for Father's Day. To order, go to michaelmedved.com. That's michaelmedved.com.
The days of making double-digit returns haven't disappeared. Right now, there are safe investment strategies that earn double-digit returns, allowing investors to double their money every 4.5 to 6 years. I'm Steve Skegis with Financial Protection Services here in Tampa and host of It's Your Money. Each week, people are amazed at how easy it is to see double-digit returns that aren't affected by market volatility. Earlier this year, I worked with a couple that was devastated by stock market losses. I taught them how to get their retirement goals back on track and under control. To find out how you can do the same, call right now and I'll send you a free, no-obligation report, The Next Great Asset Class. Call 866-630-5353. That's 866-630-5353. To hear more great investment strategies, join me each Saturday morning at 10 for It's Your Money right here on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And today we are tackling prostate hypertrophy, benign condition, benign prostatic hypertrophy, with guest expert Dr. Raul Ordorica from the University of South Florida, urologist at the University of South Florida. And we have discussed some of the basics regarding prostate, the prostate growth, and how in men over the age of 50, can affect men younger, but usually over 50, they start getting symptoms related to this growth in the size of the prostate and how it tends or can impact the flow of urine as it passes through the prostate from the bladder on the way out. Is that a fair summary?
That's an excellent summary,
okay.
Steve.
All right. Okay, so on the line now is Gustavo. Gustavo, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
And now you're a patient of Dr. Ordorica's colleague or associate, Dr. Carrion, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And could you tell us a little bit first how old you are and when your problems with BPH or benign prostatic hypertrophy began?
I am 56. And at about the age of 50, I started to experience some of the symptoms.
Okay. And what were your initial symptoms?
Well, I started with some urinary retention. Never felt like my bladder was completely empty.
Okay.
And consequently, I constantly going to the bathroom, especially in the evening and at bedtime. I would get up 2-3 times during the night, and I knew, you know, something wasn't right.
Okay. And what did you have any tests done when you were initially evaluated?
I went to my urologist, mm-hmm. and they did some tests. They actually did a bladder function test to rule out some of the other issues. We came to the conclusion that I did have an enlarged prostate.
Okay.
And recommended some treatment, some medicine, which seemed to alleviate some of the problems, but I am not a pill taker. I don't like taking a lot of medicine, and I didn't like the way I felt on a lot of that stuff. So,
Let's talk a little bit about that. What medications did you try?
I was doing Flomax and Avodart, both.
All right. And tell us what kind of side effects you were experiencing.
I just felt stuffiness in my nose all the time, kind of felt a little weird. At the beginning, I started to have a little lightheadedness, dizziness when I would get up. past, but it's just I'm not much of a medicine person, so I didn't care for it. So I was looking for something
more permanent.
Okay. Yeah.
And if I may, Steve, those are not unusual side effects from medications like Flomax or Uroxetrol. These are what are known as alpha blockers. And these alpha receptors are, A, in the prostate and bladder, but also in the circulatory system, such that patients may experience a lowering of the blood pressure when they get up. If they get up too quickly, they can actually feel faint or dizzy. And they're also in the sinus passages, such that you can get some congestion.
Okay. And now, Gustavo, you mentioned that that did help your flow somewhat. What can you give me a rough idea what percentage of improvement that the medications gave you?
Well, the medications worked significantly. I went from maybe just getting up once in the evening after starting the medicine. I went to not urinating all the time. I had a much stronger flow. So they worked. I mean, I can't complain about the pills themselves.
Right.
The medicine actually did its job, what it was designed to do for me at least, and I got a lot of relief from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what motivated you to go take another route of therapy was this the disinterest in continuing taking pills for the foreseeable future.
Correct. That and the fact that those medicines are pretty expensive.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us where you turned to at that point when you decided to try another route of therapy.
I asked my urologist, Dr. Carrion, if it was okay, if there was any alternative treatments. Instead of looking to get off the medicines. And he suggested that there were, I think, three other options that I could do.
Okay.
And he told me which was the least invasive that could be done in his office with pretty good results.
And is that the one you had done?
That is the one I had done.
And you know what it's called?
I believe it was some type of radio...
radio frequency.
Right.
Okay, well, let's learn more about it. Raul.
Well, that procedure is called Prostiva, and it's a method by which we're able to apply radio frequency energy. It's done using a scope, typically in the office. The energy is applied to the areas of the prostate. Overall treatment might take 20, 25 minutes, and at the end of that, the prostate literally will shrink over weeks to months, and we would anticipate an improvement in symptoms as the prostate shrinks away and your bladder gets relieved of the obstruction.
So it's done in the office under local anesthetic?
Correct.
Okay. And does the patient need to have a catheter after that one's done?
On occasion, we will put a catheter in. We may leave that in for a few days, and then they'll come back and we'll take that catheter out because you can have some swelling to the prostate initially.
Okay. And
is that what you experienced, Gustavo?
Exactly. Yeah. I was a little apprehensive at first, but when the procedure got started, it was pretty much painless. It was just more uncomfortable than pain. I mean, they did things to alleviate the pain aspect of it. The procedure was done with a scope, with a little camera, and in my situation, there was three areas where they had to apply the radiography. And then when I finished, I had a Foley inserted, and I had the Foley for approximately 4 days. And after that, took about a month and a half to 2 months before all the swelling was gone, I would imagine, and I was back to feeling like I'm 20.
And how? That's wonderful. And how long ago did you have this radio frequency treatment?
I think I had it almost 8 months ago.
Okay, so basically you dealt with this for almost over 5 years, roughly, before you had the radio frequency initially with the medication, and then finally with the radio frequency.
Correct.
In retrospect, would you have wanted the radio frequency done earlier now that you've been through it all?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Is that a typical response?
If he has an outcome such as Gustavo's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you're at your obviously you feel quite well, like you're many years younger. What's his long term prognosis, Raul?
Well, it's conceivable that the prostate can regrow. Of course, he knows what to look for in that instance. And I don't think if it were to happen, he'd wait 6 years to come back and see us. But this type of outcome we'd expect from the therapy in roughly 60 to 70% of our patients.
Okay. He mentioned that there were three areas that were treated. Is that typical?
Anywhere from three up to five areas we might treat.
And how do you decide how many areas and where to treat?
It depends on the size of the prostate, and we see that two ways. One, at the time of the procedure, we'll do an ultrasound to look at the prostate. That'll tell us the size of it. And in addition, we'll look inside the prostate with the scope and we're able to determine the anatomy.
Okay, very good. All right. Any questions you have, Gustavo? What advice would you give regarding your experience?
Well, for me, it worked fantastic. I would tell most men who are experiencing this to give it a consideration. It's not as bad as it might seem. You know, I was very apprehensive at first, but I did a little research on my own, and I spoke with my doctor, and they kind of eased my fear a little bit, and we just went ahead and did it. And I don't regret any of it. I should have did this 5 years ago if someone would have explained that to me or gave me that option. I think I would have done it earlier.
Excellent. All right.
Well, thank you, Gustavo. Now I think we should give that telephone number out, Steve.
Very good. Thanks very much, Gustavo.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Good. Anyone that does have questions on this topic or anything in this field, Dr. Ordorica's phone number, his office, is 250-2213, 250-2213. And we'll take a quick break and be back with more about treatment of benign prostatic hypertrophy on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
The GOP has made it official. The road to the White House in 2012 begins in Tampa. Sure, the convention has a budget of more than $100 million and will mean a big boost to the economy. But we're looking at it a little differently. Tampa Bay will be the first city that says no more to this president's agenda of hope and change. More like hopeless change. And Tampa Bay will be the first city to say, no, Mr. President, you don't deserve four more years. Proud to welcome the 2012 GOP convention. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Why does everyone mumble so much?
Restaurants are so noisy.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Sound familiar? Dr. Indira Alvarez, board-certified audiologist, can help you hear better today and change your life. I know what you're thinking, but with today's technology, advanced hearing instruments are small and discreet. Don't wait. If you're having hearing difficulties, call Alvarez Audiology for an appointment. 813-265-2255. That's 813-265-2255.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. This is Dr. Steve Maskin, and with me today is guest expert Dr. Raul Ordorica from the Department of Urology, University of South Florida, and we're talking about benign prostatic hypertrophy. And on the phone is David. David, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. David, are you with us? All right. David?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome. We are. You're with Dr. Maskin speaking, and Dr. Ordorica is with me. And thank you for joining us today.
Okay, I'm happy to do it.
Tell us, David, about your experience with your prostate.
Well, I developed about 5 years ago. I was teaching high school, and I developed BPH with sudden, frequent, urges to urinate, and also I was getting up at night and. Then when I'd go to the bathroom, really didn't go very much, and then that led to frequent urges. So that my doctor prescribed Flomax, which almost immediately solved the problem. I mean, you know, I went for 5 years with really no other problems with it. And then what shocked me was one day several months ago, it just totally sudden onset. I got up one morning and just couldn't pass urine at all. Hmm. I mean, zero. And, of course, within 3 or 4 hours of that, I was very uncomfortable. And my wife and I, and she said, we're going to the ER, you know. So I did go to St. Joe's, and that was a very good experience, St. Joe's. I mean, they took me immediately, treated me immediately. Well, of course, I left that hospital with a catheter because they got about 1,800 cc's of urine, which was, I mean, that was painful, you know.
Let me just interject here.
Sure.
Do we know why you had that sudden inability to urinate?
I don't know. I mean, I just what I know now is that my prostate had just swollen and cut off the urine flow to the point where, I mean, I just couldn't go.
But there was an acute change.
Yes, that's what shocked me. Yeah. It was just so acute and so sudden.
Well, that doesn't sound like the typical presentation.
Yeah,
well it's not that atypical. And patients, of course, experience it as a sudden event, whereas even prior to that, they may have had some residual urine left behind and not empty completely. But there can be an event in which the prostate gets inflamed, either due to infection or there can be a loss of blood flow to an area of the prostate causing it to swell. But that acute swelling will result in acute retention and the emergency room, as David is describing.
Okay. So you had a catheter placed, and what was the ultimate therapeutic approach for you, David?
Well, what happened was I go to an internist who is also at USF, and I have a number of other just sort of long-term things, and he took us very seriously, which I appreciated, and he ordered some cardiovascular testing, some lab testing, as well as pulmonary functions testing, so that Dr. Ulrika and the anesthesiologist, you know, would have the latest data.
Sure.
And I, of course, Dr. Ulrika in the office performed several tests to confirm the fact that, yeah, it was a prostate problem, and advised me that I needed a TURP.
Mm-hmm.
So I then proceeded to have the surgery. As quickly as we could, you know.
All right, and let me interrupt here because we are running short of time. Raul, what was the indication in David's case to go right to a TURP, for example, as opposed to radio frequency?
Well, given the size of his prostate and the fact that he had gone into retention, the chances of having a successful outcome in terms of using the minimally invasive procedure, the radio frequency, were less. And so if you absolutely need to drain the bladder, then the standard of resection would be the gold standard. And that's what he's describing. That TURP stands for transurethral resection of the prostate.
Okay. And that's the so-called definitive, as you said, the gold standard. By the way, we had a caller in the last few minutes asking whether or not this radio frequency procedure is safe for someone in their 80s.
It would be.
Okay.
Yeah. So age would not be a limiting factor in terms of doing that.
Okay. David, when did you have your TURP, your transurethral resection?
I believe it was the first week in March.
First week in March. So you're about, just over 2 months out.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely excellent result. I mean, I have no problem passing urine whatsoever. I am taking some medication for, you know, so that I don't have an urge and then have an accident on the way to the bathroom, and I really don't. I mean, it's just amazing to me how successful it was, and the surgery itself. I mean, my experience at Tampa General was just really good. I came in one day and had the surgery that day and was out the next morning. And it just virtually no pain, no it was just, I'm amazed.
How soon were you able to go back to work?
Well, I'm retired, so I didn't go back to work. But, within Oh, I mean, you know, within a week or so, I was not passing him more clots or
right.
really never had any pain with it or never had any problem with it.
Raul, what do you, for your working patients, what do you tell them?
We would like them to take it easy for about 2 weeks because the chances of passing blood during that initial 7 to 10 days is present. So they should take it easy at that time.
So for the TURP patient, expect 2 weeks of being out of work.
Correct.
How about the radiofrequency procedure?
Well, of course, there's that brief period with a catheter. Perhaps a week would be more reasonable.
Okay. All right. David, would you like to make any other comments or ask questions about your experience or your procedure, or for them in the future?
I would just say that, to your listeners, I mean, you need to get a prostate exam. I know men don't like that, but it's just absolutely, I would never again refuse that exam.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just need to keep on top of prostate problems and certainly listen to the advice your doctor's giving you.
Okay, that's good advice. All right, well, thank you very much, David, for spending part of your day with us today.
Yes, sir, no problem.
Have a great week. All right.
Thank you, David.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about in the few remaining minutes, it looks like we have a caller coming in, but let me ask this question. What are the other approaches, the other minimally invasive approaches, aside from the radiofrequency, that you consider when evaluating a patient?
Well, there are other office procedures that can be done using microwave energy that will shrink the prostate. When we go beyond that and we need to remove tissue, we can use laser energy, and that brings it the benefit of having less risk of bleeding. Many of our patients are on blood thinners because of issues regarding their heart or clots that they may have formed along the way, and we're able to do the procedure without interrupting their anticoagulants or blood thinners using the laser energy.
Excellent. And on the line is Frank from Orlando. Frank, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
Thank you.
And how can we help you today? Yep.
Well, I don't really have a problem like was described earlier. However, I do get up sometimes frequently in the evening, sometimes once, sometimes twice, occasionally maybe three times, but that doesn't happen very often. And I've been taking some pills from a company, and it's called Beta Prostate, and I'm not sure if you've heard of that. I don't know if it does any good, to be honest with you. I've taken it for maybe about a month or two, and I really don't see any improvement. I asked my doctor about that, and he says, well, I don't think that's going to harm you, he says, but, you know, it's up to you if you want to take it. So
well,
I
Frank,
was just wondering.
What you're describing in terms of saying that you don't know if it's helping you, nor do we. Many of these supplements in a broad category are called phytotherapy. They use plant extracts, the most common of which is saw palmetto. And there's no study to date that demonstrates an absolute response to it. And I tell my patients the same thing. If they find it helpful, which they should notice within weeks to months, then great. If not, then it's probably time to move on and look for something else. I'm going to, in the time that we have left, what we know about BPH is that for about a third of the patients, they'll tend to progress. About a third will stay the same, and the remainder will get better. But we don't want to ignore it completely, assuming it will do so. And so my advice would be to have your bladder checked out to make sure that there are not issues, that you're not emptying your bladder all the way, or even the presence of an infection or blood. And as we continue to perhaps follow it or try other therapies, we're keeping an eye on things in a reasonable fashion.
I see, because I do get frequent PSA tests, and just recently within the, at least the last 6 months, I've had not only a PSA test but a physical test by a urologist, and he said I was normal and everything checked out fine, and I hope you continue doing that, you know, because...
And that's excellent.
But I was just wondering about the procedure you were talking about, if that was really necessary for me to go go that far.
Well, it may not be really necessary, and you're driving it. You're driving it in terms of this getting up once or twice at night versus three times. And clearly, I think that if it's moving more towards three times a night and it's something that's advancing, you'll probably want to look at other therapies, whether or not it's a medical therapy. We mentioned Flomax, and I have a number of patients who do quite well on that and are very content with the outcome from that medication. You also highlighted that you had a blood test, the PSA, and that exam, and I will make a plug. You do need both in order to make sure that there's no presence of cancer there, so you're being well advised and well cared for from that standpoint.
Is there any bad side effects on a thing like Flomax or anything like that?
Well, we mentioned them a bit before. I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear that part. The main thing that people complain about, you would have experienced early on, the feeling weak or dizzy when you stand up or a stuffy nose. Other than that, it's well tolerated, and patients can be on that for years.
I see. Okay. Well, I thank you very much, Doctor. Informative in the conversation, and I'll keep track of that.
Thanks,
my pleasure.
Frank. One other thing I wanted to mention before you leave, Frank, if you do go on the Flomax, and Martin, if you're still listening as well as others, there is a risk with cataract surgery. So if you do go on a Flomax, then you need to let your ophthalmologist, your cataract surgeon, know about this prior to having your cataract surgery performed.
How about a type 2 diabetic? Because I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I control it pretty well. Would that have any effect on
diabetes?
It should not.
Okay.
Well,
thank you very much, sir.
All right. We thank you.
All right.
And we have only a few minutes to go. Raul, any final thoughts for our listeners? You kind of gave a little summary already. Is there anything you want to add to that right now?
Well, once again, although it is a benign condition, because of the impact that it does have on the bladder, what I would ask our listeners, if they do have issues in terms of having to go urgently or frequently or having to get up more than once, say, during the night, then it's probably worthwhile to have this checked. Even in the absence of that, you're doing quite well. Any man over the age of 45, if they're African-American or have a history of prostate cancer, 50 or above, if you don't fall into that category, should have their prostate examined. Which is a rectal exam, I'm sorry, and also a blood test in the form of a PSA. There is information out there. There's multiple websites. All you need to do is go on a search engine and look at prostate or BPH. One that I know is informative is at urologyhealth.org. That's Urology Health. That's one word, and that is put up by the AUA. That's the American Urologic Association, and provides educational information for patients regarding a number of urologic issues.
Excellent. I want to thank Dr. Raul Ordorica today for joining us as our guest expert on benign prostatic hypertrophy. And I'd like to share with each of our listeners that next week we are covering mosquitoes and inflammation of the brain, West Nile virus encephalitis. Very important as we enter the warmer summer months and the mosquitoes start taking over, moms especially. You'll need to listen and perhaps call in with questions as you think about protecting your children from mosquito bites and the possibility of a severe problem as a result. This is Dr. Steve Maskin, encouraging and wishing each and every one of you to have a healthy and happy week, and we'll see you next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.